Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here, Friday night edition of the program. My goodness, another week has gone by so fast. Well, I'm happy to note that tonight we have on the program, back once again, after a little bit of a hiatus, Mr. Ted Pike, who, of course, as you know, has a website, has a few of them, I guess, and one of them is truthtellers.org, and Ted asked if he couldn't come on tonight to talk about some of the concerns of the National Prayer Network and Truth Tellers, and here he is tonight, Ted Pike. Good evening, Ted.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rick.
Good. Good to have you back. And, hey, I see there's a few things on your website, of course, that merit discussion once again tonight. And I know you mentioned one of them is the fact that under this Global Anti-Semitism Act in the U.S. State Department's Office of Global Anti-Semitism, they've now pretty much said that the Bible, the Word of the Lord, is a book of hate speech now. Is that right?
Yes, they've come out very definitively and said that the New Testament record that the Jewish leaders incited a Jewish mob to have Christ crucified by the Romans is now what they call, quote-unquote, classical anti-Semitism.
Wow.
A historic form of hate. And, of course, people like Hitler and others have been described by these types of people as classical anti-Semites. This is
mm-hmm.
the kind of anti-Semitism, of course, that has herded the Jews in the concentration camps and instigated pogroms and made all kinds of accusations against them and so on. So what this basically means is that the U.S. government, through the United States State Department, now is regarding millions, I'm talking about tens of millions of people, Christians, evangelical Christians who do believe the New Testament account, Christians who went to see Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ and agreed, as he documented, how the evil Jewish Pharisaic leaders whipped up the mob saying, crucify him, crucify him, his blood be upon us and on our children.
Mm-hmm.
Those people, all those evangelicals now, have been pronounced now by the U.S. State Department to be classical anti-Semites. And, of course, if we go up to Canada, Australia, England, and so on, it's now a hate crime, a federal crime in those countries to publicly make anti-Semitic accusations.
Well, now, the question is, does this law that has been passed incorporate penalties and ascribe certain prosecutorial, positions that the government of the United States could possibly take against Christians?
Well, the law that was passed was the establishment in 2004 of the Department of Global Anti-Semitism in the State Department. They don't have legislative powers, but
mm-hmm.
The Anti-Defamation League, who is the ideological and statistic gathering force behind this this
mm-hmm.
Department of Anti-Semitism, what they want to do, of course, is to establish a federal hate crimes law. And you and I and Alternative Talk Radio and thousands of Americans have been able to back them down on that, repeatedly defeating their attempts to pass the federal hate crimes law. Now,
amen.
A federal hate crimes law would begin to have those kinds of powers.
So, in other words, they're really setting the stage
yes,
for such prosecution.
Yes, the ADL is the self-appointed ethics advisor to the nation, along with the Jewish-dominated media. And what they do is they establish these standards and definitions which guide society.
Wow, talk about a Gestapo, huh? All right, well, we'll be back then to discuss all of this with Ted Pike, our guest, truthtellers.org. Jump on the line if you have a question or a comment for Ted, 800-313-9443. I'm Rick Adams. And we're back now with Ted Pike of the truthtellers.org website, and a lot of interesting articles on there, Ted, but right now we're focusing in on this particular aspect of the Global Anti-Semitism Act, and what you've just said, certainly, to a first-time listener, I would have to say, is rather shocking. It's like, wow, I mean, you mean to say that these people who say they are tolerant and who say they believe in diversity would now attempt to use government to absolutely interfere with the core religious beliefs of another faith. That would seem like almost like what we've accused Al-Qaeda of doing or the so-called Muslim community of doing, and yet they've done none of that. I mean, that's kind of really over the reach and over the... I mean, it seems to me that it's just going a bit beyond reality to the point where it's extreme, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, the truth is that the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, wants to get Christianity. It wants to put a noose around Christianity somehow that it can begin the systematic federal and state persecution of Christians.
Mm.
Now, that might sound, oh, that's incredible. You know, evangelical Christians are the most passionate supporters of Israel and the Jewish people, blessing them unconditionally. We've been doing that for the last century. How could the Jews be so ungrateful as to want to persecute Christians? Well, the truth is that Abraham Foxman, who's the head of the ADL, has written a book about the new anti-Semitism. It's called Never Again, the New Anti-Semitism. He wrote it about three, 4 years ago. But in that book, he states very accusatively that Christianity, New Testament Christianity, is basically the evil seedbed for suspicion and hatred and accusation against Jews, calling them Christ killers, which has lasted throughout the millennia and finally culminated in the great Holocaust against the Jews during World War II. And so what he's basically saying is that despite all these protestations from the evangelicals that they love the Jews and they're blessing them and seeking them well and all of that, nevertheless, he says, down in the core, down at the bedrock level of New Testament Christianity, there's a vicious anti-Semitism down there. As Christ blasts the Pharisees, as John calls Judaism Antichrist, as Jesus in Revelation calls it the synagogue of Satan, and on, there are many verses in the New Testament which ADL claims are viciously anti-Semitic, have led to the death of countless Jews over the millennia. And so what they're wanting to do here, almost paradoxically, is they're wanting to turn literally upon the hand that has fed them for the last century, helping them build up, building them to the number four military superpower in the world. Now the ADL is saying that all of these well-meaning evangelicals really may be unconscious anti-Semites who are carrying with them baggage going back to the intolerant New Testament. And so... Obviously, the way they want to empower this persecution of Christians is to establish hate crimes laws, which will make anti-Semitism a federally indictable hate crime as it is in Canada today. If I were to go onto the radio or TV or even in the pulpit today in Canada and boldly proclaim that the Jewish people, under the instigation of the Pharisees, had Jesus Christ crucified, that would be an indictable offense in Canada today. It would be the crime of anti-Semitism because it's holding up the Jewish people for hatred and contempt. That violates Section 319 of the Federal Hate Crimes Law, which, by the way, was instigated and lobbied for 15 years before it was finally passed by ADL, for 15 years before it was passed in 1971.
Now, we note that there have been cases where in Canada and in some of the countries of the world in Europe where pastors have been called to account for statements having to do with homosexuals and homosexuality. But do you know of any, or can you cite any right now in Canada, for instance, closer to home, where such a condition has existed or such a citing has been made for a minister who has been accused of the so-called hate crime of anti-Semitism from the pulpit? Do you know of any?
Well, you see, the evangelical church is so... so present and strong in both the United States and Canada that there really aren't pastors almost in existence who would even dare do that to their congregations. They don't speak out against Israel or Zionism or the Jewish control of the media or anything like that. they do speak out against homosexuality. They do speak out against abortion and so on. And there are a number of cases in Canada of Christians, including pastors, who have been indicted under the federal hate crimes law in Canada. Now, I have a friend in Canada who, I asked him this very question. I said, what if you were to go out even on the street corner and start telling people that the Jews had Christ crucified? He said, Ted, I'd be playing with fire. He said, if I did that, I could very well get a call from the police and be taken down to for questioning as whether I had held up a federally protected group, the Jews, to hatred and contempt. And the answer is yes, that would be an infraction of the federal hate crimes law. And nobody has tested that to my knowledge.
Well, that's what I was getting at, whether there has been a test case yet or not.
I mean, the people who are testing it are here in the United States, like you and myself and other people. And because we're protected by the First Amendment, we have not been brought to so-called justice like they would in Canada. But I can tell you that that is a very powerful a violation of the federal hate crimes law to hold the Jews up as Christ killers.
Again, I want to make the distinction, as you pointed out in that example of your friend, that if one were to go on the street corner, what if one is preaching from the pulpit currently in a church in Canada or somewhere in Europe, and let's say, for instance, is saying something politically taboo against the homosexual community? Have they gone into the church and tried to censor them there or interfere with what they're teaching in the church, or only if it's in a public forum like a radio broadcast or something?
Oh, no. If you speak in the church in Germany or Sweden or whatever, even in England, against homosexuality, that's a public forum.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the best-known case was of Reverend Akey Green up in Sweden about 4 years ago.
Right, right.
In the confines of his own church, he criticized homosexuality, and there happened to be a homosexual there who took him to court. But in the same way in Australia, a number of clergy have been indicted for criticizing Islam as well as Zionism. And the fact of the matter is that criticism of Judaism or matters Jewish fits the criteria of holding up a federally protected group to hatred or contempt in all of these countries. And what the ADL is trying to do through the Department of Anti-Semitism is to establish criteria and definitions coming down from the federal level to prepare society to view Christians according to these stereotypes, that they are haters, that they are anti-Semites, and so on, so that when the final legislation is passed on the federal level, then it'll already be fairly well accepted by the general public.
Let me ask you this, Ted, because as we know, America is different. We do have this tradition of the Bill of Rights, even though for all intents and purposes, government and the Bush administration have made a mockery of it, particularly in the last 6 or 7 years. If in fact such a day should come, when that were to happen, how would they be able to get away with it? I'm thinking, would they be able, like, say, to take a preacher, someone, like, for instance, there was a church in Oregon, I believe, that had a big billboard out on Easter a couple of years ago that said, "The Jews kill Jesus." And that was highlighted by the ADL as hate speech. Now, would they be able to go and just arrest that pastor or that church and prosecute them? Do you think the American people would react to that very negatively? Or would they need a catalyst? Would they need to be able to find a way, say, through terrorism or this homegrown terrorism act to cite people in such a way that the American people might accede to such persecution?
Well, you know, you'd be surprised how much the public will go along with a hate crimes accusation in the trial. For example, about 4 years ago in Idaho, Lonnie Ray was just an average citizen, and his wife, I've probably talked about this on the program before, but his wife snapped a picture. She was a reporter for the local newspaper. She snapped a picture of a black referee who was being booed by the crowd for a decision they didn't approve of during a high school football game, and the black host came over and grabbed the woman by her back and tore the camera off her neck, giving her rope burns and throwing her to the ground. And this average citizen was so angry, he impulsively used the N-word against this black referee.
Mm-hmm.
And then the black referee, of course, brought him up for charges, made the accusation to the district attorney of the state of attorney general of the state of Idaho. Lonnie Ray was indicted for the hate crime. It was basically a speech crime. He didn't lay a hand upon the black coach, but it was mm-hmm. a speech crime. And he was facing 5 years in prison for this verbal assault, quote-unquote verbal assault on this black referee. And the feisty Idaho lawyer, Ed Steele,
right,
defended him. But what's important is that the people of Idaho were unanimous in agreeing that he should spend 5 years in prison.
Wow. All right. We'll be back, and we'll take calls, too, for Ted Pike. We're talking about hate speech laws now, and more to come. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio. And here we are back again now with Ted Pike. And, Ted, this global anti-Semitism act and the Department of State, they seem to be really pushing heavily now on this, you know, with the conference that's coming up on Israeli apartheid and racism conference coming up once again. And the United States, of course, saying it will not attend, it will boycott with Israel and whoever else they can get to come along. So it sounds like the United States now being a puppet of the Israeli puppet masters has really isolated itself again in the world scene. And I'm wondering, how is this going to go over with the world in terms of the prophecies of Scripture in the last days of what's happening in Jerusalem? And how is it going to mesh, do you think, with the fact that so much of the world now is totally against the United States because of Israel's control of the United States? And now this prospect of Christians and others being persecuted, maybe before a world tribunal. How is that going to play out, do you think?
Well, I believe we are we're in a race to the finish now.
Mm-hmm.
I remember back in 1987 when I first came out with my video, The Other Israel, which has sold many, many thousands of copies now.
Yes.
ADL up in Seattle was very nervous. They held a special conference up there in Seattle, invited clergy and so on. And they were saying quite publicly that they were going to destroy Ted Pike in the next and the National Prayer Network in the next year, and that was 1988. And mm-hmm. Since then, we and the National Prayer Network and Alternative Talk Radio, American Free Press, and so on have continued to blast out the truth, very much to the vexation of ADL. They thought they could silence us. And, of course, they're very worried about the powers of the Internet to leap over media boundaries and national boundaries and so on and bring the whole uncensored truth to the world. And ADL, needless to say, is trying desperately to censor the Internet. And as an example, they're putting a lot of pressure on Google to try to get them to take off videos like my videos, which are on at Google.com. In fact, people, if they'd like to watch my four major video documentaries, they are available at www.video.google.com. We're getting up to about 170,000 people in the last year and a half or so who have watched those videos there free of charge. That includes my video on hate crimes laws, and people need to watch that video to get a real education of background on especially how ADL took away freedom of speech in Canada and wants to do it here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
But we have an extremely small clique, a cabal of conspirators within ADL, B'nai B'rith, and other Jewish activist organizations who are trying to push forward their agenda. But it's no small thing to bring down a great civilization like Western civilization and the United States of America. And Jews, of course, are only about 1.5% of Americans, but But many, many Jews do not support this agenda, and that makes it even more a small percentage of actual Jews who are in a conspiracy to dominate the world society. And so what I think right now is that there is there's an excellent chance that just as we were able to destroy and delay at least six major pieces of Orwellian legislation in this last year in Congress, so also if the American people speak out and publicly identify these threats, these conspirators against the Christian civilization, we are in a good position, I believe, to hold back and postpone their agenda. You know, back in 1967, David Ben-Gurion, who was one of the major terrorists of Israel and became a prime minister, he prophesied that by the late 80s, Jerusalem would become the political and economic and the legal capital of the whole world. He was proclaiming the dominion of Israel over the nations.
Mm-hmm.
And look, here we are 20 years later, and they still haven't been able to do it. And I think our people, our troops need to be encouraged that we've had some sensational victories this year in Congress, and we just have to keep up the fight. We have to make those calls to Congress. We have to get educated. We need to call into the talk shows and speak out and spread the word. And especially we need to work on our evangelical brethren who, like lemmings, are following John Hagee and other false apostate leaders. We need to speak out and argue for the whole truth. And needless to say, my Truth Tellers website is, I believe, a wonderful library of thoughtful articles and essays and videos and so on, that people can come to and access to get themselves educated.
Yeah, but now let me ask you this now. How is what can be done at this stage of the game to accomplish what you've just said? I mean, we have this reality of the State Department. We have all of this legislation being proposed, including S-1985 we have a number of other bills that are being proposed, and I'll catch up on the other side of the break, but I'll ask you how that all meshes together, and then we will take some calls. 800-313-9443. Ted Pike of TruthTellers.org. And we're back, and Ted Pike is with me. And Ted, I was just asking that question about how... what's the best way, then, to fight against this possibility or this seeming inevitability if the ADL should have its way eventually? You know, Satan never sleeps, and Satan never gives up until he gets what he wants, and we know that Scripture tells us certain things are going to have to happen before the second coming of Jesus. And, I mean, what is the way to deal with this, considering there's legislation in Congress now, as you know, the bill that would affect the Internet, affect dissent in America, and investigate the possibility of homegrown terrorism, and all of this stuff. I'm asking basically, how does it all jive together with the ADL's plans, and are they basically behind all of this as well?
Well, they pretty much are. The ADL is they're the theoreticians and the activists who contrive the whole kinds of the whole spectrum of biased crime legislation, and they literally are the eye of this octopus. There are many tentacles, and we can go out and we can chop tentacles, or we can go cut to the chase and plunge our harpoon right in the eye of the octopus, which is basically what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
In this latest email I sent out, I tell people to call their members of the Senate and the House and actually protest the existence of the Department of Global Anti-Semitism. And the number, if I could give it out tonight, is a one. If this is a toll-free number to your members of the Senate or the House, 1-877-851-6437. Again, that toll-free number to the members of the House and the Senate, 877-851-6437, and tell them, please revoke funding for the State Department's Office of Global Antisemitism. It does not represent scholarly research, but the anti-Christian biases of the Anti-Defamation League. Again, I'll just read that, and you can phrase it however you want. Please revoke funding for the State Department's Office of Global Antisemitism. It does not represent scholarly research, but the anti-Christian biases of the Anti-Defamation League. You see, what we have to do is to begin to bandy it around Congress right now that there's the people know about the Department of Global Antisemitism. They don't like the messages which are coming out, the false, twisted definitions of anti-Semitism, the bogey statistics, and so on, and begin to get it fairly well known in Congress that the people are angry that this whole bogus ministry of propaganda was voted in by a majority vote, in fact, unanimously by Congress in 2004. We've got to build up some heat, build up some controversy, so that we can present some opposition and slow down the progress of this Orwellian star chamber, if you will, before it gets too much of a head of steam. And we've done this with the hate bill. We've done this with the bias crime legislation, all this stuff this past year. Let's include protest of the Department of Anti-Semitism.
All right, and let's take some calls. 800-313-9443. Let me start with Henry in Connecticut. Hello, Henry. Yes, Henry. You're on the air with Ted Pike. Are you there? Is Henry there, or is he absent? Okay, then let's move on to Joe in Florida. Hello, Joe. Do we have Joe?
I'm right here.
Okay, Joe, you're on. Yes, we can hear you.
My question relates back to the hate crimes laws and the hate speech in specific. It seems to me that there's not a very long line to be drawn if you want to take that and move it over to dissident speech in response to anti-terrorism laws and that
mm-hmm.
kind of stuff. Am I correct in that, and would you comment to that some?
Ted?
Yes, absolutely. As you well may remember, Ernst Zundel was deported from America back to Canada and then deported over to Germany, where he is now serving a, I don't know, 4 or 5 year jail sentence for being a domestic terrorist in Canada. And what did he do which would qualify him for that term? He did nothing but doubt the 6 million figure of the Holocaust, you see, and
right.
criticize the Jewish media and things like that. Things that you and I and Rick and Republic Broadcasting are doing all the time.
In other words, he was a free speech criminal.
That's right. And in fact, Senator Kennedy this fall on the floor of the Senate made a bombshell of a statement. He said that hate crimes here in the United States, which amount often to speech crimes, constitute domestic terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
So already, you see, if you are holding up the Jewish people for hatred and contempt by saying that their forefathers killed Christ 2,000 years ago, you begin to become not just an anti-Semite, you go into becoming a domestic terrorist. Of course, the ADL is in the driver's seat of this kind of persecution because it can make its own definitions. It's the lawgiver, the new lawgiver for our nation. And every few months or years, it comes up with new twisted definitions. It puts them out so that society will get used to that. And then after a while, as the Jewish media reinforces that, it becomes accepted by society, and then they come along and then they legislate it without very much opposition.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a far cry then from just saying, I don't like what our government's doing, and then you get put in jail for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And in fact, we can go clear back into the 1940s when Charles Lindbergh and others criticized America's involvement in the European war. They said,
mm-hmm.
basically, let Hitler and Stalin fight it out and let Hitler destroy communism. And that was considered sedition, and the ADL, even back in the 1940s, was very active in indicting Lindbergh and a number of other patriotic Americans for what they called sedition.
Mm-hmm.
You may remember the great sedition trials.
Yes.
Fortunately, the judge died, and they weren't able to actually put Lindbergh in jail, but ADL was vehement. It wanted to put Lindbergh in jail as basically someone who was undermining the war effort. Now, right now, we have a war on terror, which is being supposedly waged with Israel and the United States on one side and al-Qaeda and the Muslims on the other side. Now, if you criticize our unholy alliance with America and Israel, or you criticize Israel's policies and so on, it doesn't take too much imagination to see how critics of Israeli policies and militarism could be viewed as undermining the war against Islamofascism.
Yeah. They really have it all packed into a neat little package, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I think they're going to push too hard, though. They've been pushing really hard lately, and I think they're going to push too hard, and it's going to come back to bite them.
Well, it will, one way or another. That's for sure, Joe. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right. You know, Judgment Day has a way of creeping in on them, too, you know. You can't deceive everyone, including yourself, forever without having to reap the consequences, I would say,
yes.
Ted. Let's take Doug in Texas. Hello, Doug. You're on the program with Ted Pike.
Hi, Rick. Hi, Ted.
Yes.
Ted, if these, you know, it becomes a hate crime to deny the Holocaust, you know, the 6 million figure and this and that and other, would it also be a hate crime to wish that it were actually true?
Well, actually, in my article, which is posted up, it's the latest article at truthtellers.org, you'll see that there's quite a list of other standards of what is anti-Semitic.
Right.
We've been talking about how it's anti-Semitic to say that the Jews killed Christ 2,000 years ago, but it also, some 12 different criteria include diminishing to any degree the 6 million figure of the Holocaust. So if you are a researcher and you come up with 5.5 million or even more than that, you have become an anti-Semite. You have dishonored the memory of the Jewish dead. You're in the same category as someone who desecrates Jewish cemeteries. You're a hate criminal.
Well, since the Palestinians are Semitic, it seems to me like the present little Antichrist, Jewish supremacist, apartheid, terrorist state of Israel, it seems like they're anti-Semitic to me.
Well, that's very largely true, because the majority of Zionists who did invade Palestine during the 20th century and drove the terrorists, the Arabs out through sheer terror, they were not really a pedigree descendants of Abraham at all. They were Khazar Ashkenazi so-called Jews. In other words, they were Jewish converts or proselytes from the ancient nation of Khazaria, which was converted to Judaism around 850 A.D. And the Khazars very quickly convinced themselves 1,200 or so years ago that they were actually descendants of Abraham, and they went up, they migrated up into Central Europe, into the Eastern European nations, such as primarily Poland, Lithuania, and even Russia, and they became the great source of Zionist activism and terrorism and so on that came down into Israel, claiming that they were God's chosen people and had a right to the land promised to Abraham. About 30% of so-called Jews today are, I believe, a fairly authentic descendants, mostly from the Jews of Babylonia who were expelled from Babylon in about the 11th century A.D., and they became the Sephardic Oriental, German Jews, French Jews, Spanish Jews, and so on. But it is true that the primary pioneers of Zionism in the 20th century were largely Khazar or Gentile Japhetic rather than Semitic in origin.
Well, I think the people that occupy Israel today are probably descendants of Abraham Lincoln, maybe.
Okay. All right. Is that all you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think that's adequate.
I think that pretty much gives us the punchline, yes. All right. Thank you very much, Doug. We have, I think, Rita from Colorado now. Is that right? Rita dropped off? Okay. Do we have Henry back again? Is Henry there? We're having a little bit of trouble here, just trying to coordinate the lines and see what is happening. We get on these subjects lately. We've been having some distortion, Ted.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Interference.
Hello.
But here we go. Here we are. We have Henry. Is that right, Henry?
Yes.
All right. We got you back. What happened, Henry?
Yeah.
We missed you before when we came to you.
Okay. A quick question. You mentioned about the Bible. Now I'm a Teutonic pagan, so I'm not into Christianity. But this is the question: if they're going to outlaw what somebody quotes in the Bible, would they outlaw arrest and throw in jail a caller who I heard call a AM radio station here, not far from me down in New York, who quoted some words from the Talmud, from the Talmud?
Yes.
This was about 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to outlaw, we know they outlaw the Quran, and we know they outlaw the Bible. Are they going to outlaw the Talmud?
Well, the record is, Henry, the federal hate crimes bill was established in Canada in 1971, and as I mentioned earlier, it was basically the northern branches of ADL B'nai B'rith, which was Canadian Jewish Congress, and B'nai B'rith Canada who pushed that through. And so in Canada, the basically Jewish activists are in complete control of the whole hate crimes prosecutorial system. And to my knowledge, there has been virtually not a single Jew indicted ever since 1971. Many Holocaust revisionists, questioners of the Holocaust, and Christians and others have been indicted. But no Jew has ever been indicted. And this is true in all of the countries of Europe, Australia, and so on. It always seems to be those who are on the right wing, Christians, anti-Zionists, and so on, who come under the jackboot of the hate crimes, Jewish hate crimes bureaucracy.
But isn't that because, Ted, because Jews just don't do things like that? They're above the rest of us. They're very tolerant.
Well, the fact of the matter is that the Jewish Defense League is an outrageously bold terrorist organization. Not only
are you talking about Mordecai Levy?
No, he's talking about the JDL now.
Right, but there's an organization where Mordecai Levy has a similar name.
Right, there are similar groups.
Okay, I'll tell you this. So in other words, if somebody's on an AM station down there in New York and they advocate, murdering Jews, or we should blow up Israel, we should kill every Jew, whatever, blah, 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 bomb the hell out of them, just kill every Jew, then they could be pressed, they could have the cuffs put on them and taken into court, correct? I mean, if they get their way.
If we get a hate crimes law like Canada, and the federal judges and so on begin to adjudicate and broaden it out into a speech crime, which is inevitable and happens in all these countries, yes, those would definitely be considered fighting words, hate speech, and so on. It would be indictable. We aren't at that stage yet right now because we are still protected ostensibly by the
First Amendment. Right.
Although there are attempts, like the rest of the Philly 11, those 11 Christians in Philadelphia, where a Jewish district attorneys like Lynn Abraham, who is the head of the whole legal system of Philadelphia, she gave orders to have these Christians indicted under the ADL's Pennsylvania hate law for doing nothing but witnessing for Christ to homosexuals.
Well, in that case, and people like Michael Savage and I think Sean Hannity, even though sometimes Michael Savage says some things that appear anti-globalist, he does, believe it or not. But he and I think a few others would be charged with hate crimes because I've heard them about 6 months ago talking about advocating blowing the hell out of Iran, killing every, you call the Iranians infidels and, Iraqis, ungrateful infidels, and other times he says some things that are true. He, there's another guy there, a couple of those New York so-called conservatives.
All right, so again, you're trying to make the point that what, Henry?
Well, that they're advocating bombing and killing and massacring, literally genocide.
And you're wondering why there'd be no effort maybe to prosecute
them. Right, that they wouldn't get prosecuted, right.
Right, because they are part of the matrix, I'm afraid
that's
the answer. Thank you. All right, thank you, Henry. We'll be back with another call. Rich in Ohio, in just 3 minutes. Stay tuned for more of Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. Go to the website. We'll be right back. I'm Rick Adams. And we're back now with Ted Pike, and let's see if we can squeeze in one more call right now. I believe it's Rick in Ohio. Hello, Rick.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you tonight?
Very good.
Good. Yeah, I think everybody's going to find the ultimate purpose of these laws. Ted Pike kind of gave it away there. He mentioned Ernst Zundel being in prison in Germany.
Yes.
I might add to that, and his lawyer, Sylvia Stolz, S-T-O-L-Z, Google that sometime, Sylvia Stolz, is also in prison for defending Ernst Zundel in the court in Zionist-occupied Germany. What we have here, the reason we're hearing about all this now in the United States is because the chickens are coming home to roost.
Mm-hmm.
America is getting what it's been doing to the rest of the world for decades. Germany has been an occupied Zionist-controlled state since 1945, courtesy of the United States' might.
Mm-hmm.
Just as England has been suffering under a tyrannical government that wants to take the free speech away from the English people, transitioning into Australia and Canada. They want to take their guns away, and they've done that. In England, Australia, and Canada. Now they're attempting to take the free speech and the guns away from Americans in the United States.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's a Zionist-controlled entity, just as Germany has been since 1945. The purpose of this law is, as I said, Ted kind of let the cat out of the bag there when he said that he mentioned the German law that Ernst Zundel is in prison for defaming the memory of the dead, the victims of the Holocaust, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, what... They use that, that's their cover. What they don't want you talking about is honoring the memory of the dead of Palestine since 1948, or honoring the dead of Germany during the Allied war crimes of the 1944 and 1945, 1946 and 1947.
They were the greatest.
They don't
crime.
Want you to talk about the dead of Iraq, or the dead of Iran, or the dead of Lebanon, or the dead of Syria.
Yes. You're right, Rick. You've summed it up so well. Ted,
yes,
any
well, thank
response?
Thank you, gentlemen, for having this, bringing this issue to the front once again. And thank God for
surely, time. Surely. Thank you, Rick. Yes. Ted, I don't think you really probably can add to what Rick has said. I think you've been saying
well,
the same thing.
Very well said, Rick. I think we're in a tremendous fight to the finish here. And one thing I'd just like to say in closing is that I do lead the charge on legislative activism, calling, and so on, but we need to turn back to the God of America, Jesus Christ, and put our trust in him and humble ourselves as a nation.
Amen.
That begins with every one of us. We need to prostrate ourselves in faith and fasting and prayer and ask him for a deliverance, an extension of time. And I believe that God will not allow this nation to go the way of Rome and other great systems that went down the drain. If we put our trust in him, that is so important.
Amen. And Ted, people who want to go to your website can just go right to the site at www.truthtellers.org, right?
That's it.
All the info is up there, and we'll continue and have you back again to talk about the other issues as well. Thank you, Ted Pike, for everything.
Thank you,
and
Rick.
We'll be talking once more. Thank you again. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Monday night we'll be back, Lord willing. Are you ready for secession? Stay tuned. Monday night, Rick Adams, Radio Avenger. Thank you all, and God bless.